someone that they were really close to, husband and wife, and a couple of boys. They liked to get together from time to time in the evenings to hang out. And they would go over to one particular home more often than the other. And at that house, they had a game room where they could send the boys, you know, out to go play. And the moms and dads, the two of them, would sit there and they would play cards. They would talk politics. They'd probably talk about the kids out there, what was going on. But without fail, from time to time, the story goes, the host dad would always say to them this, "Why don't you spend the night?" Now, he didn't mean that. He was just saying that to be hospitable. You know, he loved them and cared for them. He said, "Why don't you spend the night?" Of course, they said, no, we won't do that. And they'd leave. Well, the guy who was telling the story, his dad was not the host. His dad was the other guy. And they would, they said, "Okay, here's what we're going to do. Tonight, we're going to pack bags when we go to the Martin's house. And I want you to pack your bag, and we're going to put it in the trunk, and we're going to have it ready." And they looked at each other and goes, "This is going to be awesome." Because they were going to call him on his bluff, okay? So they get over there, and they go through the evening. The kids play. They punched. One of them bloodied his other one's nose. You know, typical kids stuff. And the parents are in the kitchen. And as they're getting ready to leave, the guy says, as of on cue, "Why don't you guys spend the night?" And the other dad says, "That's a great idea. Kids, go get the bags." Now, they weren't expecting that answer. And the host father's jaw dropped, going, okay. When they tell the story, they did stay the night, and they had a great time. But sometimes with hosts, you got to be careful what you say in life. Well, in Luke's gospel account, we find a pair of stories that speak to the primary functions of you and I as Christ followers. The first story, the one we're not looking at, is the story of the Good Samaritan. Most of you are familiar with that story about the guy who was robbed on the road from Jericho or to Jericho, whichever way he was going, and how we needed to care for those who are less fortunate than us is kind of the moral of that story. Then, following that story immediately in Luke's account is this story in Luke chapter 10, verse 38, where he talks and tells us about two sisters, Mary and Martha. Mary and Martha, families. I don't know if you have siblings or not, but it's amazing to me how different siblings can be, considering that they grew up in the same house with the same parents, and they can be so different. And of course, I'm talking about my sisters being different, but they would probably say the same thing about me. But I want you to follow with me on the passage, and then we'll look at it in detail. Jesus, the account goes this way. "Now, as they were on their way, Jesus entered a village." We find out from other sources that's the village called Bethany. But and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, are you anxious and troubled about many things? But one thing is necessary. Martha has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." Father, I pray that as we look at this story and try to seek to apply it to our lives, you'd help us to understand that there are different kinds of people in life. Some are the ones who host. Some are the ones who pack their bags and go to the other person's house to pull a prank. Others are the ones who sit quietly, and there are those who are serving actively. And Father, help us to understand the moral of this story, the point of this story, as we work through it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, first of all, I want you to see that Jesus was welcomed into their home. That's a big deal. Some people are really good at this, aren't they? Some people, not so much. But look at the story again. They were on their way, and by the way, if you look at the bigger context, they're on their way to Jerusalem is where they're going. And so they have left, most likely Jericho. They have headed uphill for about 18 miles or so, walking in the heat, uphill, both ways in the snow. You know, that old saying we have in life. And they're on this way up there. And when you almost get to Jerusalem, you kind of almost crest the hill where you can see the city in the distance. There's a village. It's still there to this day. It's called Bethany. And Bethany is the hometown of Mary, Martha, and their brother, Lazarus. There's a story about him. Y'all remember the story where he died. So this is the same family, and they're in this house. And they may not live in the same roof, but they were in the same area. And they're at Martha's house. Why? Because Martha's the host. Martha's always the host, okay? She's the one that does this stuff. And on this particular day, Jesus and his disciples entered the village. And this is a place that Jesus and his disciples were accounted to go often. They would see Mary and Martha when they were in town. It was kind of like their stay, where they would kind of base out of when they were visiting the city of Jerusalem. And as he arrives that day, you can imagine, you're hot, you're dusty, you're tired, you're thirsty, and you get to Martha's house. And everybody knows Martha's a host. Martha takes care of things. Martha has water. She has food. She has refreshments. She has a place to sit down and relax. She's going to take care of you. So you would go to her house. And they're here in town with Martha. But the story goes on. We discover that Sister Mary, isn't that a movie? No. It sounds like a movie, doesn't it? Or a song. Sister Mary was there. And what does she do? She sits at Jesus' feet. Now, to you and me, that doesn't seem strange, does it? But in the culture, that was a very unusual thing for a woman to do. Women and men in that culture were very much segregated along gender lines, because the culture was such that women took care of the house and men took care of the jobs. And when men got together, they would talk men's stuff and women didn't go. But here we find something interesting. She had a sister called Mary. And where is she? She is sitting at the Lord's feet. Now, oh guys, that would be kind of weird, wouldn't it, to have a woman sitting at your feet listening to what you're saying? But that's the picture, and she's listening to his teaching. So when they get there, we find a contrast between the two sisters. And let's look at Mary first, because she is the one that often, more often than not, gets the nod in this story. Oh, she's the one that's really you ought to be like. I want you to see how that may or may not be the way we should see this. Again, it's unusual and strange how two people raised by the same parents can be so different, right? Martha is the servant. Mary is the worshiper. Martha is the doer. Mary is the not so much. She's not doing nothing. She's just not doing what is expected. And in this situation, you find a very interesting thing. If you look at other parts of Scripture, you find that other people sat at the feet of others. You know that Paul is described as sitting at the feet of Gamaliel. And what they're saying is not necessarily physically he sat at his feet, but he was under his teaching. He was under his leading. He was under his influence. And that's what they're doing in this story. Mary is saying, I want to be with Jesus. I want to hear from Jesus. I want to prioritize relationship over work, over activity, over doing stuff. Now, we read the story, and many commentators will come back and say, if not explicitly, implicitly, Mary's the better sister. Why? She's with Jesus. What better place to be, right? And I read that and I understand that. I suspect it may have been theologians who didn't do much activity in life but sit around thinking who wrote those things. It's just my thought. But this was non-traditional activity. Here she is at the feet of Jesus. Maybe, and it's, some believe that she is the same Mary who broke the alabaster jar at Jesus' feet and anointed his feet with oil before he went to the crucifixion. Her focus, and this is what I want you to see, her focus is where? Jesus. Being in his presence, hearing his words, worshiping him, if you want to use that word, and I think that's the right word to use here. But, verse 40, but the other sister, Martha. Any of y'all Marthas? I'm going to confess, I'm a Martha. I'm not a woman, but I'm a Martha, okay? It's a character, personality. This is the one that wants to get out and do the stuff, to serve the people, to take care. A lot of folks in our church are Marthas. That's not a bad thing, is it? We got a lot of Marthas in our church, okay? And that's a blessing, because it's a church, we're able to accomplish a lot of good things because we have people who like to do and like to get out and serve and get out and get involved and go do things for the community. Praise God, right? We need those people. But look at this. Martha was distracted. Distracted with much what? Serving. Makes you kind of think, well, the story doesn't really cast her in really a good light. She went up to him, to Jesus, and said, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve all alone? And you can almost hear in the statement, all alone again. Tell her to help me. Martha's got an interesting perspective on life. Why? Because for her, the way to live is a life of service. Mary lives a life of what? Observation, worship, engaging. And you look at this and you think, if I had to give Martha a personality type, I would say she was a type A of personality. You know who those people are? They're the ones that end up, those are the ones you want around to get things done. They'll line it out, say, you do this, you do this, we're going to go here, you go here, we're going to get it accomplished. We need those people, right, in life, because those are the ones that take charge kind of guys and gals, and they get lots of stuff done, and often they get lots of stuff done well. We like them. They're available. In my mind's eye, I can see Martha coming up to Jesus, and remember, they didn't sit at kitchen tables, they sat at low tables, and Jesus comes up, Martha comes up and says, Jesus, don't you understand I need her help? Ooh, wow. But that's a type of personality. That's how they are. That's how we are. That's how they live their life. They come up and they just jump into the middle of the fray, don't they? And they get in the moment and she says, Jesus, don't you care that she's not helping? Don't you care that she's not serving? Don't you care that she's not like me? Is how I see it. I have an aunt. All of my aunts have got guy names, so it's kind of weird. Or most of them do. Aunt Tommy is her name. But my mother tells a story when they were kids, and there was five girls in the house with one bathroom. My poor Peppa. Anyway, and they did not have a dishwasher, because who needed a dishwasher, right? You got five girls. And after dinner, after supper, they would have to go and wash the dishes. And my mother tells the story that Tommy would always disappear to the ladies' room and magically reappear once the dishes had been washed. That wasn't her thing. You remember Tommy? Yeah. That wasn't her thing. Martha thinks, maybe Jesus can get her to serve. Maybe Jesus can get her involved. Maybe Jesus can help her. And Martha is certainly worked up in the moment. But the story doesn't end there. Look at verse 41. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha. Bible scholars in the room, does that harken back to any other stories in your mind? It does to me. And you remember that when God spoke to Moses, he said, Moses, Moses. When he spoke to Abraham, he said, Abraham, Abraham. When Jesus spoke to Simon Peter, he said, Simon, Simon. He's trying to get their attention. He said, Martha, Martha, why are you so anxious and troubled about many things? But one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen, and be careful here, the good what? Portion. He does not say to her, she's chosen the good life, the right path. He's saying she's choosing to do what is necessary in life for all of us. And we're not going to take that away from her. So catch what I think is going on here. Well, scholars have leaned into the idea that Mary was right, Martha was wrong. Again, I think those are the guys who sat in the ivory towers writing books and never get out and do anything for anybody else in life, because that's what they're put together, how God shaped them to live life. But that is not the entirety of the Christian experience. See, she's literally anxious and troubled about many things. And this is the pathway that so many of us who are like Martha, we worry about the what? The details. We worry about not everything else, and we do it to the point that we have a detriment in our relationship with Jesus, because we're so busy trying to serve that the service becomes more important to us than the relationship. And we're not going to let Mary off the hook completely here, so hang on if you're a Mary. He doesn't tell Martha to throw caution to the wind. It'll all work out. Don't worry about it. He doesn't say that to her. He says, don't be anxious. Don't let this stuff drive you crazy. And I believe he speaks into Mary's life at the same time, saying she's found the good portion, but that's not everything there is to life. She needs to also to have some service. There's a balance here. I think he's telling them, and he's telling us as well, is they needed to be more like each other. If you tend to be a Martha, you need a dose of Mary. If you tend to be a Mary, you need a dose of Martha. So you can find that balance between the two, because that's where we find the totality of life in Christ. Those of us who are not good at the sitting in front and doing nothing in front of the Lord have to really work at that, don't we? And those who are really good at that, but not so good at the service side, you got to work at what? Finding ways to plug in and serve. Martha needed to quit, needed more quiet listening. Mary needed more service. And I think that's the big idea here. We can never serve God if we allow our fallen type A personality to be tempered, not to let it be tempered with moments of silence. And you cannot fully serve God if all you're doing is sitting silently in the presence of God. It has to drive us to do something practical. There's a balance in this. And Jesus walked them to this. One writer said this, and this probably resonated more in my personality, because I tend to be more like a Martha. He said this: people say we need revival. He said we need to sit at the feet of Jesus and hear his word. People say we need unity. We need to sit at the feet of Jesus and hear his word. People say we need to win arguments. We really need to sit at the feet of Jesus and hear his word. And people say we need to reach the world. We need to sit at the feet of Jesus and hear his word. Too often we err to one side or the other, and we will use the excuse that says this: well, that's how God created me. Didn't God create you to be unique? Unique? Yes, he did. But he didn't create you to lean into your uniqueness to the detriment of a totality in following Christ. Well, that's just who I am. No, that's not a good excuse. Three quick thoughts, and I'll wrap it up. Number one, we got to refuse to live imbalanced. You probably are not surprised at that being on the application list based on what we've just talked about. But instead of seeing Mary and Martha as a choice, going, well, I'm going to be like Martha. No, I'm going to be like Mary. We got to see those as kind of a spectrum that we fall on somewhere. And all of us naturally fall somewhere in that line. And some people are more Martha-esque, and others are more Mary-esque. But notice what Jesus said in the passage. He said, Mary has chosen the what? Good portion. She's chosen a good path. And we don't want to take that from her. We don't want her to miss out on that. I think the big idea here is that we've got to spend time in the presence of the Lord. Amen? We've got to come before the Lord on a regular basis. We've got to spend time in quiet time with God. We've got to spend time in his word. We've got to spend time worshiping him, both privately, personally, and corporately. We need that. But that's not all there is to it. We've also got to what? Find places of service, places of ministry, to balance all that out. Don't let yourself become so far to one way or the other that we miss it. Let me be direct. Mary and Martha's are both needed in the kingdom of God. And we need both sides in our lives. If we find that balance in following Christ, we can sit at his feet and worship. But we can also get out and get a place of service and ministry. Listen to what Jesus said in response to the lawyer who asked the question, what do I need to do to get eternal life? What do I need to do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said this, and Jesus answered, you shall what? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and all your mind. Be a Mary. And love your neighbor as yourself. Be a Martha. He doesn't say that, but that's the idea here. He says both are necessary in following Christ. They're two halves of the eternal equation of eternal life. We got to love the Lord with our hearts, and we got to love our neighbors as ourselves. We need to be both. Number two, rejoice in your good portion. You know, when you look at the encounter Jesus had there at Martha's house, which one is the good sister? Which one's the good sister? I suspect if you are more like Martha, you're going to say, well, Martha was the better one. She was serving. And if you're like Mary, you're going to say, well, Mary was. That's why I think a lot of theologians who work in academia tend to lean, when they write their commentaries, to say Mary's the better of the sisters. She's the one that is to be preferred. But I disagree with that. I think we've got to have both. We've got to be both. Now you go, well, I'm always going to be more Martha. Probably so. Or I'm always going to be more Mary. Probably so. But we need to have that balance in our lives. If you're like Mary, you're going to say Mary. If you're like Martha, you're going to say Martha. But you know, God called all kinds of people to follow him. You know that, don't you? He called fishermen. He called tax collectors. He called people who would betray him. He called people like you and me to follow him. While each of us tends to think that our way of following God is the right way, we need to recognize that God created everybody with unique gifts and unique talents and unique abilities. He called all of us out of the darkness into the light. Praise God, right? Hear how Paul phrased this concept in 1 Corinthians. He said this, consider your calling, brothers. Think about your calling, guys. Paraphrase it. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. He's just calling them fools, okay? And he's saying, y'all don't know what you were doing. Y'all weren't the rich people. You weren't the smart people. You weren't the intelligent people. You were nothing. Not many were powerful. Not many were noble birth. How would you like to have someone come in here and say, oh, First Baptist New Boston, you know, not many of y'all are very wise. Not many of you are very powerful. Not many of you are of noble birth. Y'all are kind of bumpkins. We'd kind of be offended at that, wouldn't we? That's kind of what Paul is saying to the church at Corinth. But he does say this. He goes on. He says, but God chose, and I added the line, underlining for emphasis, what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to what? Shame the strong. And God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are. And he did it so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. What he's basically saying is this. I took you out of your mess and made something out of you. You were a Mary mess. You were a Martha mess before Christ. But I want you to be a balanced person that has both sides of the equation in your life. That you're not only sitting and worshiping, but you're also out there serving. We need both, balanced. And rejoice in who God created you to be. God uses all kinds of people in this kingdom. We need to celebrate those differences. And then one more thought, and I'll wrap it up, is this, we need to realize that God calls all of us to connect. And you say, are you talking about connecting with each other, or are you talking about connecting with God? Yes. It's both. It's both. See, no matter what type of person you are and you were created to be, more of a Mary, more of a Martha, God wants to use you in the kingdom. And he wants you to value those who are not like you and to connect with them and relate to them and walk with them and serve with them. You know, I've been in places of service where the Marys come up with things and I go, well, I never thought of that. And you know why? Because I don't lean that way, right? And they come up with things that I need to hear. Over in 2 Peter, and you may want to check that reference because I've got it written first in one place and second in another. 2 Peter, it says this, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. God wants to connect everybody into his kingdom. Why? Because God loves all people. He values all people. He stands at the door waiting for all people. But he calls on us to make the response. Did he love Mary? Well, that was easy. Yes, she was worshiping, listening, all that. How about Martha? Did he love Martha? He loved her enough to confront her about what she was struggling with, right? Does he love me? Some days I struggle with that one, do you? You think, does God really love me? And the answer is what? Yes, he does. And does he love you? Yes, he does. His call stands true for us to turn away from sin, to let him forgive us of our sin, so that we can be cleansed of all unrighteousness and walk and follow him. We need to take the first step, though. And then some of us need to take the next step, and the next step, and the next step, and to lift each other up and walk together in faith. So what's holding you back from saying yes to the Lord? Anything? By the way, if you noticed in the bulletin, it said busy if not. It's not. It's busy or not. Are you busy? If that's all you are, you're missing out. If you're not busy, you're missing out. We need both so that we can say, Lord, here we are. Send me. Father, I pray that you'll bless this moment as we go into this invitation. I pray that, God, you would speak to those who need to respond some way, whether publicly, privately. We pray your blessing in these moments. We ask you to move according to your will. In Jesus' name, amen.